Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. As you may or may not know, this is an opportunity for you, the viewer, the listener, whomever it is, to be able to follow along with us as we do a sermon rewind. That's right. We go into the teachings here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We sit down with the preacher and discuss, delve into in a deeper way what is being taught here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. So again, welcome. My name is Antonio. Today I am here with Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
Hello, Pastor Dan.
Hey, and it's good to have you back. You've been, we've both been gone on and off we didn't see each other for like a month.
Yeah, it was probably almost 5 weeks.
Something like that,
by the time we got back, which is always odd, Pastor Dan.
Oh, man. So you had a vacation.
Yeah.
Then I had a vacation.
Yep.
Then you went on a missions trip to Thailand.
Yes.
And I was here, like, just waiting for you. I was only gone 2 weeks. Yeah. You were gone, like, a lot.
Yeah, so of those, I was 1 week at the front end and then 2 weeks on the back end. Two business weeks.
Business.
But I was out of town for 11 nights.
God's business.
It was amazing time.
Yeah, yeah. For our listeners and our viewers, they did a testimony night last night on Wednesday. Pastor Paul led it. Brilliant. Beautiful, amazing testimonies, and I thought everybody that shared did such a great job. I mean, I don't know if there was just dust in the room or what. Yeah. No, the tenderness of God from the time we were worshiping, singing the blessing, and Pastor Paul got up there. I mean, I was like the weepy pastor on the front row the whole night, because it was a beautiful night.
Yeah. You know? And Pastor Paul got some tears.
He was weepy. Yeah.
He teased me on the trip too, because. So as we were wrapping up the trip, we had a team huddle, and everyone kind of shares some of their highs and the lows of the trip, and kind of just processing together, which is a brilliant thing to do. And he was like, "I'm not the weepy pastor. That's Pastor Antonio." And so when it comes to my turn, obviously
you're crying.
But you know, he did get weepy a little bit. You know, the Lord's working on him. But it was
a tough exterior.
It really was. And like you said, that was just some of the team. There was 20 of us total.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was looking over the front couple rows, because a lot of the team sat up there. And I was like, oh, they went. You know, so it was kind of cool. And I know they have testimonies too. So, you know, if you see one of the Thailand team members, just say, hey, what did God do in your life? You know.
And we're going to do some more at Raya, because there was about six of our Raya Rock Young Adult people that were there. And we're going to have some testimonies tomorrow night as
Fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic. Yeah, that'll be great.
Just because, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging. It's inspiring.
So I have a question for you, though, because that was a missions tour. What did you do on vacation?
We went to Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah, so we celebrated 15 years. We went to Oahu.
Congrats.
Yeah. And we got to hang out. We were close to Waikiki Beach, which, if you like the city, then that's a great place to go. I just don't know if that's what we would have... I don't think that's what we felt like we were... signing up for, although it's popping, like it was popping, but almost like too stimulating, overstimulating for
a million people or something like that.
It's I think so. Our only other Hawaiian experience was the Big Island, which has like a rural,
it's totally different,
mellow, and so we were like, yeah, let's go, it's relaxed, and it was not like a relaxed.
No, Waikiki's not relaxed.
It is. I mean, you have. It's like I feel like it was. What's Rodeo Drive on steroids?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all day, full, packed with people, all the high-end shops.
Well, I went for a conference for pastors years ago, and at night it was like that.
Yeah.
I remember we finished a session, and we decided to just go out walking, and the shops were all open, everything was going. There was, you know, a nightlife that was happening that we were just like, whoa, you know, so kind of crazy.
And the thing is, like, we never really... totally changed our mind, so because it's 3 hours behind
schedule,
so like by 9 o'clock it's midnight, and so we're like drained, you know, but then we're up before the sun, and
I actually like going there for that reason, as a Californian, because when you keep your schedule, you're up before everybody else.
Yeah,
you can get
out. Think you're gonna be up before us, but then everyone's not from there.
So
it's 6 o'clock and the streets are packed already.
That's true. No, I mean, we've only done that island once. Most of the time we go off, you know, to the farthest island, which is Kauai.
Which is our next one, by the way. Hey, that's going to be next.
Let's talk before you go, because there's some neat things there. But, I mean, just getting to some of the beaches and then the trails if you're hiking, things like that. So we love that stuff. We're the type of people, like, we don't care about the resort
yeah.
and the pool at the resort. It's like, yeah. I got a pool at home.
Yeah.
I don't need like the resort pool.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm from California yeah. and that sort of thing. So it's like, I'm here to see stuff. I'm yeah, here to do stuff.
For sure.
So
for
we
sure.
drive our, mostly our kids. We drive our kids pretty crazy mm-hmm. On vacation. We vacation hard.
You know, that's what I was listening to the podcast. Actually, I was just texting Pastor Brian this morning. He was like, hey, man, you guys did an amazing job last week. I feel like every
Pastor Brian's on vacation.
Yeah, I feel like everyone. Yeah. And this is so cool of our church. We'll boast on us a little bit. Just, you know, everyone who's hosted, guest hosted, preached and taught. You know, there's a lot of substance and it's an anointing, and not yeah. as individuals as on the house. And so it's really cool to hear the depth of our team here and knowledge of the word, and really more than just mind knowledge, a sensitivity to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so I was pleasant. You know, I was blessed, you know, from Pastor Joel, excuse me, Pastor Joel and Pastor Brian. And then you and it's like, you know, there was all this interchange. Again, I think you and I have not done the podcast for probably
it's
six
been a
or
while.
Seven
yeah,
weeks.
It's been a while because, yeah, well, yeah, because yeah. I remember being on vacation listening mm-hmm. to you and Pastor Paul.
Oh, right.
And Pastor Joel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of cool, though. I mean, it's that variety and that yeah. sort of a thing because, you know, as great as we are together, Pastor Antonio.
I know.
It could get a little monotonous.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think I feel like, you know, those who are listening, we pray it's a blessing to you because, again, it's not just about the personality or preacher as much as, again, a supplemental to the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, getting to ask some of those questions like, hey, what did you mean by that? Or if you could press pause on a live sermon,
yeah,
what
sure.
would you
sure.
kind of take some notes in? So it's been a good time, Pastor Dan. And again, as the summer is kind of coming to an end, although it feels temperature-wise, it's just getting started.
Yeah. Well, it's overcast today, but yeah, I mean, it's still been blazing hot. So
yeah.
I like the heat, though.
Yes.
I don't know.
A lot
of people don't. Yeah. They're like, give me the sweater weather. And I'm yeah. like, no. You know,
so Thailand is hot and humid.
Humid, yes.
Although it's just such a beautiful, lush, green country. We spent some times, a few of the nights up in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
which was, oh my gosh, it's beautiful because it wasn't even very humid.
Oh,
so you
okay,
have
yeah.
cool, crisp mountain air.
Nice.
Not very humid. And it was a beautiful time other than sleeping on mats and concrete floors.
It's called missions, bro.
Yeah, it really was. And it was a beautiful time. And I don't want to segue into it too much. But yeah, so all that to say, it's good to be back in some of this dry heat. We
dry
got
heat.
Off of the plane. It was like dry heat
because yeah.
it was 6 p.m. I think, and it was 90 something degrees, and but there was a nice breeze and it was good to be home.
LA, right?
So anyway, Pastor Dan, we are rewinding. So in this episode that you're listening to, watching, we are going to be sermon recapping
yeah.
Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. Man, can you believe we're on verse 9 already?
I mean, we're flying through.
Yeah.
Flying.
So it's, and again, I know you reiterated yes, line upon line, but even I like the idea of concept on concept, principle on principle.
Yeah, brick. You know, I like to say brick by brick because
yes.
I think in our understanding we get that we're building on something. You
yeah.
know, so I continually go back to verse 1 where the Apostle Paul talks about who he is, what he is,
yeah.
and why he is.
Right.
And with that why comes the explanation of the gospel. And with the gospel, we're going to see next weekend as we get into verse 16, especially.
Yeah.
comes the power of God, which is the grace
yeah.
that we currently stand in and what the effect of grace is on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exciting part about going line upon line like we're doing and,
yeah.
and putting these principles one right after the other is that you're building a structure into people's hearts that helps them to succeed in life. And so, you know, every prophetic word the Bible says should be for edification,
mm-hmm.
right? It
mm-hmm.
should be building people up. Even if it's a warning,
yeah.
it should be building up a defense,
yeah.
you know? Even if it doesn't sound pleasant, there's a purpose to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're building, and definitely Romans 1, there's some
yeah.
unpleasant things in there,
yeah.
you know, that we're going to hit. But as we build principle upon principle, we're going to see the need for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see the power of the gospel to overcome that
Come
need,
yeah.
right? And our depravity, our sin, our rebellion,
mm-hmm.
The flesh,
yeah.
all those things as we go through that. And that's why I really enjoy this style of teaching and going this way. As well, for preachers, you know, when you're topical and you're having to come up with something
yeah.
and you're praying and,
yeah.
you know, maybe you didn't really hear from God, like this is the solid direction. Sometimes it's nice to know, hey, I'm going to the next verse.
Right.
So God, what do you want to speak about this verse? Or what is the verse speaking to me in this in this context and that sort of a thing? And then to allow the Holy Spirit to fill in those blanks for you. You know, so it's good for the preacher, but I think it's good for the people more than anything, and preacher included, because we're hearing these words and we're studying these things. We have to live them too, you know. So I really enjoy what we're doing right now, and I'm excited about where we're going.
You know, this book specifically, there's whole Bible college courses, full semester courses on the book of Romans because of that, right?
My favorite, and if he heard me say this, he'd tell me I'm carnal. But my favorite teacher in Bible college actually is doing a class on the book of Romans.
Oh, nice.
And so we've been sharing resources. So he sent me some videos, and I sent him a book. Yeah. And so we've just been going back and forth. And, you know, so, I'd text him when I started the series, and he's like, have fun with it. So that's cool. That's cool.
That is very cool because it's just so in-depth. And correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there's a lot of different doctrines and lines of thought and books have come out of what is the richness of Romans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it that this book is so important, or is so why is it so such a heavy hitter in your from your perspective?
You know, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses speaks to the people of Israel and he recaps everything pretty much for them and talks to them about how God took them out of Egypt, out of bondage. You know, the promises to the forefathers and to take them into this land. And it's this overarching message of what God is doing in that nation. And we know that the overarching purpose of all that was to get the people to a place so that he could bring a person, Christ, so that he could redeem the world, right? All people. And it was a crossroads. It was, you know, an outpost of the Roman Empire. Yet it was Israel. I mean, there's all these unique things about this place that God was bringing a people to, so that He could bring a person from, and that's the theme of redemption, right? That's what God was doing on the earth, because there was a fall, there was a rescue mission, and that's why God needed this people, was to bring the person of Christ. So here, the person of Christ has come, He's gone to the cross, and now the church has launched. And what does the church have? The church has the Old Covenant scriptures, and then they have the prophetic word.
Yeah.
And so there was a need for the apostles' doctrine, because the apostles had walked with Jesus and had learned of him personally, the new covenant way and the kingdom of God, which they were bringing in. So the apostle Paul, he's one born out of time, he says. He's this guy who was, you know, persecuting the church. He's on his way to Damascus with letters from the religious leaders. And Jesus shows up and changes his life. And then it's recorded that he goes to the desert for 14 years.
Mm.
And while he's there, he's just learning from Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he mentions in 2 Corinthians, and most people would agree that when the Apostle Paul is boasting about all these things that have happened to him, and then he says, I know of a man who was caught up in the third heaven and heard inexpressible things that are not lawful to repeat.
Yeah.
Most people would agree that he's talking about himself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I believe that during that time in the desert that Paul was getting caught up in the things of God, caught up in the Spirit. He's seeing these things, he's hearing these things, and he gets a revelation in that moment.
Yeah.
And almost like Deuteronomy, where Moses is recapping and giving this overarching sermon. I mean, really, it's three sermons, but he's giving these messages to them, and he's telling them about what happened, but he's also telling them about what's to come, right? Yeah. You're going to get into the land. You're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant, homes that you didn't build. There's going to be a propensity in your flesh to drift away from God. Make sure that you don't do it. Remember your Creator. It's God who gives the power to get wealthy and establish His covenant on the earth. These things that are coming into your hands are for a purpose and for a reason. And he's telling them, you know, you're going to want a king. This is what the king's going to do. Yeah. This is how he's going to act. And, you know, God will send you a prophet to be raised up, right? He's prophesying. He's foretelling the future to these guys. And he's giving them encouragements to stick with God, as well as warnings against the flesh and against the enemy that's out there. And so I believe that the Apostle Paul, in many ways, now after Jesus has taken us out of this land of sin, right, which Egypt was always a picture of sin, then now the Apostle Paul stands in that place to say, hey, you've been brought out by Jesus. This is what's happened to you, that Jesus has gone to the cross. And because of that, now the gospel, the good news, what is the good news? The kingdom, right? If you look all through the gospels, what was the gospel that Jesus preached? The kingdom is coming, right? The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near. Kingdom is here, right? So we can say with confidence that there is a new kingdom. No longer are we under the kingdoms of this world. It's no longer, you know, our thinking. It's no longer the kingdom of darkness. That kingdom has been defeated, and now it's the kingdom of light. And so we're coming into this kingdom. So how do we live now? And he's giving us that future perspective that, hey, the flesh is going to war against your spirit. You're going to have to overcome those things. And there's grace available to you. You've been given things that you didn't work for. You know, there's a power available to you that you couldn't do on your own. And so now here's how to live in light of that. So the very beginning of the book, you know, I'd say chapter one all the way through like chapter 11, you know, very theological in content. Some parts are very difficult to understand, especially when you start talking about national Israel and their place in this whole overarching theme, you know. But then when you get from 12 to 16 in the book of Romans, very practical, which most of his books are like that. Ephesians, Colossians. I mean,
he set it up and then
he always starts with theology, but then he ends with practicality. And so that's where, you know, the book of Romans lands too. It's the longest and the most expansive. And, you know, really it's what we as Christians, I believe, need to have that solid understanding of the space that we live in right now. And that space is grace, right? Ability, not our ability, but God's ability, where we couldn't do it, God does it. We couldn't save ourselves, God saved us. So now we've got to work with that grace. And what does that look like practically in our lives? And that's really where I believe the heartbeat of this whole thing comes, that this is our big message, right? If we're going to take a look at the overarching theme of the New Testament, hey, Romans will give you that with both the theological and the practical.
Which I love that passion, and I guess maybe I want to ask a follow-up question, because I feel like maybe there's a listener when they now they think like, okay, there's college courses on this. It's in depth. We know Paul was a very intellectual person and an academic. And it's like, I just, and someone think I'm not there. I don't think that way. I'm not a school person. I'm not an academic. I just want the plain and simple. What would be the encouragement? Because again, it's not like there's a, you know, you have to take a prereq class to be able to understand.
Well, I think it's encouraging, number one, that we're tackling this in church, right? So and I think the fact that we're doing that should show everybody that if we can handle this on a Sunday sermon series, then guess what? You can handle it. And that's our job as the pastors and as the preachers, is to bring these things down to bite-sized pieces. And The Rock has always endeavored to bring these difficult concepts with profound simplicity. So that, you know, if it doesn't get into the least or the, I don't know how to say it, you know, not everybody's an academic, right? Not everybody is book smart and a bookworm and desires the deep theological terms and concepts, or they don't read at the comprehension level that others do, you know? And so if someone with the least comprehension and understanding can grab a hold of something for their life, that's the heartbeat of God, and that's the heartbeat of this church. But that's also the hard job of the preacher, is to reach those that have the least comprehension and those that have the most comprehension. And so you'll notice that oftentimes, especially in my teaching, which, you know, not that I'm anything, but that the Lord has given me a teaching gift, right? I know that's one of my spiritual giftings, is that I have a teaching ability to take difficult concepts and make them simple. It's just part of God's spiritual makeup for me. And I believe that's why he wanted me to pastor and to preach, is because he knew that I can do that, because he'd gifted me to do that. He graced me, if you will. And so that's where you'll notice that in my sermons, I will lay out these theological concepts. But then what do? I bring a story. And those stories reinforce the concept in a way that we all can grab a hold of and understand. You know, so, you know, I think about the final story that we told this weekend. Here's this runner who his hamstring pops. He's on the ground, and he gets up and he tries to finish the race alone, and he's hobbling along, and his dad comes throws his arm around him and carries him across the finish line, right? And we talked about mutual faith, that we literally with our faith can carry others across the finish line. Yeah. That it's not always about us. It's not about us winning. It's not about us doing it on our own. No, it's about others and what we can do. See, that concept is a theological concept of, you know, I mean, there's Greek terms that people have used, like koinonia, the fellowship, right? Yeah. The ecclesia, the gathering of the saints. I mean, there's so many things that we could dive into. But if people don't understand koinonia and ecclesia, and they don't speak Greek, but they understand that guy carrying the dude across the finish line, right?
Yeah.
Well, I can carry someone across the finish line. I could do that, right? Well, then can you help your neighbor?
So
can
good.
You encourage your brother? Can you go and just listen to your sister? What can you do practically? And I think that's where, like we said, it starts with the theological, but then it ends in the practical. And that's our job to bring those concepts. Right.
And that's exactly what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
Right? Hence a parable, right? Like he
never went before the people without a parable.
Because, hey, here's the deep things of God.
Yeah.
And then here's how it equates in your life, what it looks like through what you understand in this agrarian culture and society.
Right.
Like, oh, here's a field of, and now it sounds confusing to us in our, sometimes like, Jesus, what are you talking about? But they absolutely understood.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of doing the same thing, or Bible teachers do the same thing when, okay, maybe you don't understand wheat and tares, but here's a race or here's something, here's the Olympics or here's a basketball game or here's a sport that you like.
Yeah.
And so I love the breakdown of that. Yeah. Thanks for going into that.
I even had a joke with needlepoint this weekend. Come on, you know.
I that was a really cool picture too, the home sweet home image. And
so full disclosure, you can get that on Etsy, I think.
Very cool.
So
come
I mean, there's a little template. That was a picture of the template.
Yeah.
So I probably not royalty free, and so hopefully that didn't get onto.
You see, like the photo, the embossing.
Yeah.
Onions.
If you own the rights to that,
hey, we love your stuff.
Free plug. Just count it as this. This is your payment. Somebody that likes needlepoint's going to go and get the prayer changes things on there.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Dan, there's a couple things specifically in the message I know we talked about that I wanted to go into. You were talking about serving God with your spirit, right?
Yeah.
How do we serve God with our spirit? And one of those was in prayer. But you mentioned a term, or maybe I don't even know if you used the term, and it was just kind of as I was listening, and the Holy Spirit kind of brought it up this way. But one of the takeaways was, because you can hear prayer like, okay, prayer, right?
Yeah.
That's the point. But you went into the idea of postures of prayer or different types of prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Ephesians, when we talk about the spiritual armor at the end of it, after it talks about what you're outfitted with, it talks about how we do battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it says praying always with all prayer, or some translations say all kinds of prayer. And throughout the scriptures, you'll find that there are different types of prayer. There's prayers of thanksgiving, where we thank God for things. There's prayers of supplication, where we ask God for things. The same thing with prayers of petitions. We're petitioning God for something. There's prayer in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fervent, focused, faith-filled, word-based prayer. There's prayer in tongues, right, where we don't know what we're praying. Our spirit man is edified, but our understanding is not edified. You know, there's all these different types of prayer. I would even say that there's warfare prayers, you know, that in the context of Ephesians 6, where it's talking about where the weapons of our warfare. So then he says praying always. So obviously that prayer is warfare.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all these different types of prayer that we can employ. And I believe that we should employ all those. You know, we mentioned in Romans 8, the deep groanings of the Spirit, where we don't even know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with groanings and things that cannot even be uttered. You know, sometimes there's times where we're just travailing. You know, it was a popular word in prayer circles for a long time, travailing in prayer.
Yeah.
Also, there's another word called intercession, right, where we're going in between. We're going on behalf of someone else, or we're making up a hedge. You know, I believe oftentimes when we're praying for our land, those are intercessory prayers.
Right.
When we're praying for someone that we know is going the wrong way. You know, like John says, if you see someone sinning a sin which does not lead to death, then pray for them, you know. And so there's some very distinct different types of prayer. But you mentioned postures of prayer, and sometimes those postures are going to be different. Obviously, that deep groaning and that travailing, most of the time you're going to be on your knees, or you're going to be bent over, or you're going to be maybe pacing, you know, that sort of a thing. Those Thanksgiving prayers might be hands raised and smiling and you know, even jumping up and down. You know, there's a definite joy that comes with Thanksgiving, you know. Maybe it's with tears in your eyes that God, thank you that, you know, I didn't crash my car right now, you know, or whatever it is. There might be something overwhelming. Thank you that my kid got healed, or, you know, we're out of the hospital now. There's some really neat things that can be associated with those, and the posture will be different for those. You know, intercessory prayer. You might be storming around, pointing your finger, shaking your fist, you know, the warfare prayers, shouting at the devil, or, you know, whatever. Now, you're not praying to the devil, obviously. You're commanding that devil to flee, but then you're asking God and you're praying to God for these things. And obviously, there can be some crossover where there's petitions that come with that prayer, or there's, you know, thank you, God, that we have the victory that comes with the warfare, you know, things like that they'll cross over. And you know, maybe you're praying in tongues and you're praying in the understanding, you know, and there will be some crossover things that take place. Even, you know, there's been times where myself and my wife, where we've been praying in tongues, and all of a sudden we said, you know what, there's something going on here. God, what am I praying for? And then God gives you the interpretation. Yeah. You're able to pray that, you know, and those are some neat things, because sometimes, you know, especially Pastor Jess, she's like, man, I was praying for nations right now. Yeah. You know, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, you were interceding and you didn't realize it, but man, you're built up in those moments because God gives you those gifts and works with your, that's where we talk about serving God in the Spirit. Those prayer postures, you know, if it's just vain repetition, if it's just, you know, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. It's not doing you any good. Right. But when it's in your spirit, when you're invested in it, your heart is in it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it changes, and that prayer posture has to be in spirit, right? And then, like we said, in truth, you know, we want to worship God in spirit and truth. We also want to pray in the spirit.
Right.
We want to pray in our understanding, and we want to have that posture that brings these things before the Lord, and really does what needs to be done in prayer.
Yeah.
To where we know, man, we're connecting with God, you know, because nothing worse than praying and going, am I just talking to the ceiling? You know, what's going on here?
Well, you know, if I could introduce maybe in modern terms a life hack or a prayer hack, because, you know, I myself, full disclosure, can have challenges with being a prayer person, because it's like, you know, look, you just listed seven different new types of, now I got to memorize and do like, so like that can feel intimidating. Like, am I praying right? And then what happens? Just like even in the physical, you go to the gym, like, if I'm not lifting right, I'm just not going to lift.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not praying right, I'm just not going to pray. But we know, and you showed us, and we've learned very well that prayer is an important part of our spiritual life and spiritual disciplines as being a follower of Jesus. So even actually just this week, there was this thing that I feel like, you know, Holy Spirit led me into, and I've found myself kind of stumbling as you were listing some of those, even right now, stumbling through kind of checking those things, because sometimes there is the intimidation of, well, I got to get something done in the spirit, right?
Like,
I got to do something in prayer. Like, well, isn't prayer just talking to God? But now I got to do something in here. Well, so what I found that helped me, even just this week, and some of it is just kind of coming, not because I'm so spiritual, but because my mind is still waking up. I'm finding myself waking up before the sun, and I'm not tired anymore, so I can't go. I was like, I'm just going to go on a prayer walk. It's it's like really nice at 5:30 in the morning. It's like 68 degrees, and so I would just go on a walk. But I started going through the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Our Father. And what I found is, and actually Pastor Luke had taught us several years back. We were in a men's group, and he was like, do this men's group or the Lord's Prayer. It can feel repetitious, but if you personalize it, you'll find that you'll kind of can go off the cuff.
Yeah.
So you're kind of using each phrase of the Lord's Prayer as being able to personalize it. So, our Father, which art in heaven. Okay. God, you're in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Well, hallowed, that's a weird, like, well, okay, what does hallowed mean? So then I started hallowed, holy, mighty, matchless. But then now I'm finding myself in, it's like becoming this Thanksgiving prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you that you're so good. Thank you that you're holy. And so I'm, okay, so here I am, check this. Not that we're checking boxes.
Not checking boxes, but you're seeing how it's being used. Yeah.
Right. And then I go into the next phrase. And in this next phrase, I'm petitioning. Mm-hmm. And in this next phrase, I'm like, oh my gosh, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
I'm repenting as I forgive others. Oh my gosh, I got to forgive and release others. Now I'm thinking about others. You've always taught us, if there's people you don't like, start praying for them.
Pray for them.
Because how mad can you be at them when you're praying for them? Mm-hmm. You know, it does something in your heart. Remember? Do you remember teaching us that?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
It's hard to be mad at somebody when you're lifting them up because you're like, God bless them. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, bless them, God.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of changes your heart towards
them. Your
heart
softens, yeah, because where you wanted to knock them out, now you're going, well.
So you're kind of going through these phases. And so I don't know, maybe that's a life hack for somebody.
It's funny that you say Pastor Luke taught that because Pastor Deborah, decades ago probably now, taught that here on Sunday nights and went through each section and talked about you know, the concept of that. And so I've been using that outline since she taught that for years and have actually adapted, you know, in some ways what some would call a prayer list. Mm-hmm. Gerald Brooks, who's a pastor in Plano, Texas, wonderful man of God. He said, there's nothing wrong with having a prayer list, but you got to make sure that you have a prayer life.
That's good.
And I think that's where, you know, I have a prayer list. Gerald has a prayer list. Even Pastor Jim, when he passed on, Pastor Deborah sent his prayer list as a shared note to the whole family.
That's cool.
So I got to see everyone he was praying for. He's praying for you.
Oh, cool.
And
I made the list.
Yeah, you made the list. So, and your kids. Yeah, you know, it's Antonio, Angelina, and kids. You know,
wow,
so like,
awesome.
But I do know that even Pastor Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time he would say, I don't spend like an hour in prayer every morning. Mm-hmm. I just talked about throughout the day.
Right.
And I think the thing is like, if you look at, you know, you mentioned exercise, going to the gym the first time and you can get frustrated. But what is it like going to the gym on the fifth time or the 15th time?
Right.
It's different. And you may have been being taught the different types of exercises.
Yeah.
But then you found something that when you did that exercise, like you said, there's a whole lot of different exercises within that one thing. You know, rowing, it engages a whole lot of your body, right?
Yep.
Swimming.
Yep.
There's different things that you can do. You know, if you play tennis or, you know, pickleball is all the rage right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some things going on to where you're moving in different ways. You're engaging certain parts of your body as well as you're getting cardio at the same time, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that go on. I believe that prayer is much the same way. You know, you even expanded on our list of types of prayer, repentance, right? That's another type of prayer. And so there may be in one prayer, like the Lord's Prayer, all types of prayers that you can launch out from, right? To where the petitions are coming and the thanksgivings are coming and the, you know, the awe and the praise of God is there and worship. And I mean, there's just a repentance, whole lot of stuff that's mixed up in one. And you didn't realize while doing that my goodness, I'm employing all kinds of prayer. Yeah. But then like Gerald said, have a prayer life. You know, and I remember being a teenager and hearing this, it's almost like never hanging up the phone. You just keep it off the hook and you just talk to God all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a beautiful expression to realize, you know, I think it was Monk Brother Lawrence or something like that, practicing the presence of God. You know, he was like a cook.
Yep.
And so he would just talk to God while he was cooking.
Yep.
And everyone was like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, I'm just practicing the presence of God. Yep. And I think our prayer life helps us to do that and just keeping that open line of communication. God, what do you think about this? God, what do you want me to do here? You know, and just having those things. God, hey, would you... And now all of a sudden you're interceding, you know, and you're bringing those petitions before the Lord.
Yep. Yeah, that's really cool, Pastor. And I know the cool thing about prayer, too, is there's, you know, in the scripture, draw close to God, and he'll draw near to you,
yeah.
When you're in a time of daily or regular prayer, you're not hanging up the line, the closeness that you feel to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, going back to a missions trip reference, I think about how for 10, 11 days, we were with this team pretty much around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, there's this closeness. I'm like, oh, I didn't know some of these people at all before we left. And now you're like, I'm sleeping in the sleeping bag next to these guys.
Yeah.
And so you're morning, noon, and night, and you're around them. And then there's just a closeness, a drawing near that takes place, a familiarity. And in the same way in our prayer life. And then all of a sudden, hey, the mission trip is over. I'm not around them as much. I slip out of touch. Oh, we're not texting anymore. All of a sudden, same thing kind of happens and can happen in our prayer life. Whereas, I haven't been praying. Why, God, why do you feel so far?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're not in communication.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking. There's not a drawing near. And so I think that's a huge part. And I know we didn't get in too much into the whole message, but I believe that the Lord did what he needed to do in our time today. And there was one that meant, and I'm sure we'll get into it more, that I really wanted to take time for, and that was the desiring the best gifts. And I think there's some time down the road in these scriptures as we get into some of the gifts.
Yeah, no, I know that later on in the book of Romans, it talks about the body and the gifts and things like that. And so Romans 12. So just, you know, keep listening to the podcast.
Yeah. And it'll come up in other times, too.
Sure, it will.
Delve into these topics.
Well, the neat thing, too, is that, you know, we all have the Holy Spirit as believers. And so if that's something that sparks your interest, ask God about it in prayer.
Yeah, come on.
And God will make it known to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Dan. It's so great to be back here across the chair from you. And we're excited. I know a lot of you are watching on YouTube right now, but I know we've been talking about it the whole time, but we're narrowing down the days. We're just working out the logistics with our team to be available wherever you listen to podcasts as well, whether it's the Spotify or the podcast app or whatever it is.
We did simplify it on our Rock Church app. Yeah, it's there now. So make sure to click that on the app, and that's an easy way to get a hold of it.
Yeah, maybe you can't watch YouTube or you don't want to use your battery or whatever. You don't care to look at our facial hair. We didn't talk about that.
What's going on there?
You know, this is, for some, this is an afternoon shadow. This is 3 weeks for me.
Three?
Almost 3 weeks. Yeah, this is like, oh, man, I didn't shave today.
Well, you're making me feel good about myself because I still got all these patches, and I'm on the brink of shaving.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just holding on. So.
Yeah, it's like the vacation thing, right? Is this,
yeah.
Because a few other people were in the office
didn't
shave during vacation, and now we're noticing. It's not even No Shave November. We're still in August.
August, yeah.
Wow.
And there's no rhyme for that, but.
Come on. Praise God. Well, Rock family, we love you. Wherever you're listening, like, comment, subscribe, share. We'd love that. Talk to you soon.